Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and this is the Bible study program, Shear Jashub, coming from Shear Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the ministry of my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo. In today's broadcast, we will be concluding a sermon in Pastor's series on the Book of Romans. In dissecting this important epistle by the Apostle Paul, Pastor opened this current sermon by going into the Gospel of John for a background discussion of true biblical faith. There, John the Baptist says that the one who receives the testimony of Jesus has certified or set his seal that God is true. Pastor Greg also looked at the account in the book of Acts, where the Gentiles at Cornelius's house fully receive the Lord at Peter's preaching of the gospel. And when we left off, he was studying verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, where the apostle writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." We'll go back a minute for context.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. All need this power. All need this deliverance. And notice the gospel goes first to the Jew, right? To the Jew first. And we've seen that in the book of Acts, the first privilege. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, ethnos, beginning at Jerusalem." But you start, it's going to go to all nations, but you start with the Jews. For the sake of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For what was done when all the Gentile nations were so far away that the word of God was preserved. That they are the natural olive branch. They are the ones that God had made the promises to that we all now benefit from, first in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." First to the Jew, and then to the Gentiles. But it's not that there's to be a separation. You know, there's silence when Peter comes back. The same thing that happened to us happened to them. God has chosen them the same way he's chosen us. It's not to be two different groups. Now, a Jewish person that comes to Jesus should still say they're Jewish. They should maintain that identity. But I don't like when you see you have churches that are messianic and only Jews can belong to them, as opposed to Gentile Christian churches. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 16, he told the Jews there, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd," right? One flock and one shepherd. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul makes this very clear. He says in verse 11, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands," and you have this distinction made between the Jews and the Gentiles, "that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. They were separate. They didn't have the promises of Messiah. They didn't know about the promises of Messiah. They were following every crazy imagination. If you look through all, every Gentile history, you know, people become very prideful in our ancestry. Everyone tends to be very prideful in their background, where they come from. If you trace it far enough back, my ancestors come from Italy. If I trace it far enough back and I start looking at the Roman gods, there's nothing really to be prideful about. The crazy imaginations that they ran after, how they, the image they had of divinity with Jupiter and Juno and all the crazy, you know, at that time period, that's what the common thing was in Rome. We're studying the letter to the Romans. Now it's so far back that it just becomes mythology. But that was their belief system. And all the Gentile nations, who goes off in one direction, who goes off in another direction, they had not the knowledge of God. They had lost the knowledge of God that came down from the ark, and they replaced it, and Paul will talk about that later on in the chapter, with every type of paganism and imagination, replacing the eternal God with the images, the idols of men. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. If you look at the logical end result of the Gentile nations, it's no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both, right, the circumcised, the uncircumcised, one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. There's enmity between Jew and Gentile. There's really enmity between God and man, because everyone breaks the law and the wrath of God is upon them. And he takes, and in himself, in Christ, he creates one new man from the two, making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God, both Jew and Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, come together as one man, reconciled both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached to you who were afar off and to those who were near. There is no difference. Jew or Gentile, both need Jesus Christ. Verse 18, for through him, through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit. There's not two different Holy Spirits, one for the Jew and one for the Gentile. By one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You're part of the building, one body, one man, one building, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So it's very clear from those passages that even though the Gentiles are afar off, as they come in, there is one shepherd, one sheepfold, one man being made, one temple being built. Jew and Gentile ought to be one in Christ Jesus, one flock. And then we see that when Peter was explaining about Cornelius' house to the Jewish believers, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. I'm not ashamed of it. I will preach it. It's the only way anyone I come in contact with has access to reconciliation with God. It is the power of God. For in it, in this gospel of Christ, which is the power of God, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For in the gospel, in the NIV, it says, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Who are the righteous? Who are the just ones? The ones who have faith in Jesus Christ. The ones who believe. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. But he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Faith to faith. This is a quote here, the just shall live by faith, from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. And Lord willing, next time we'll examine this verse of salvation more fully. This is the center point. This is the key for the rest of the book of Romans. How are we saved? We're saved by faith. That faith I spoke about at the beginning of the sermon, that true type of faith in this gospel, this power of God, revealed to us the righteousness of God, God's kind of righteousness. How do you receive God's kind of righteousness? It's revealed. It comes to us. We see it. We get it from faith. And we don't stop at that point, right? Our whole lives, faith to faith to faith. As it is written, the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would instill in us, Lord, a true faith. Father, help us in every area that we might be weak, Lord, that we would take that confession we've made of your Son, Christ Jesus, Lord, and we would seal it. We would certify it. We would have the type of faith that Paul exhibits in this letter, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that we would understand what you've placed in our hands, Lord, the power of salvation for everyone who believes. Help us, Father, enable us to share that gospel in the sincerity, in the wisdom, in the truth of your Son, Christ Jesus, that as many as can come into your kingdom will come in. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
On the shiarjashub.org website, you will find a library of Bible study programs, information about our church, and links to the Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle channels. Our Sunday service starts at 10 a.m., and then we go live at 10:30 on YouTube for the sermon. Videos are then posted on YouTube, Rumble, and the church website, shiarjashub.org. And you can check Isaiah 7, verse 3 for the spelling.